G'day everyone and welcome back to another episode of The Sporting Post. It is great to have you back with us for our Olympics finale wrap, our third Olympics episode that we're doing. You might be thinking, who is this absolutely random voice that we're hearing? It's May. I'm back. I guess you could say instead of just being behind the computer editing away as I normally am, I'm also behind the mic. So thank you, Seb, Mitch and Kat for having me.
Yeah, of course, May. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for coming on.
Well, I reckon we get straight into it. Kat, do you want to start us off with a bit of an overall wrap of how Australia went in the Olympics?
Yeah, of course. So obviously we've just wrapped up 2 weeks of back-to-back sport. It's been pretty great. Bit of a treat for those of us in lockdown, Victoria and all over Australia. It's really exciting to see Australia finish sixth. What do you guys have to say about that one?
Well, yeah, it was our third highest medal tally ever in terms of total medals awarded. Highest since Athens in 2004, I do believe, and our equal highest total ever for gold medals. So a pretty remarkable performance all around. Seb, what was your takeaway from our overall experience of watching the Australians at the Olympics this year?
Yeah, look, pretty sick. Couldn't have come at a better time, really, for most of the country, could it? Especially for us in Victoria, that most of it was spent sitting on the couch. Well, I know I speak for me, and I probably speak for you three as well, when I say it was sitting on the couch and watching it most days. But look, for a country with 25 million people, really, we punched above our weight finishing sixth, didn't we? Like, I was saying this off air, like the fact that we've got 17 golds and 7 silver, like, no other country has that big a difference, a ratio between their gold and silver. I reckon we find a little bit extra Australians do in the Olympics, and I reckon that is well, it's never going to be proven as a fact, but I think it's pretty cool.
100%.
No, I completely agree. It's interesting because obviously the US had 113 total medals, which you think compared to 46 totals, 17 gold, 7 silver, as Seb said, and then 22 bronze. Pretty solid tally, and yeah, definitely great for our population size, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing from this week, though, Mitch, tell us about it. It had to be the Boomers, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, for sure. It was actually one of our bronze medal wins. So
still huge.
Yeah, still a massive accomplishment. For those of you who may not be aware, the Boomers have finished fourth, so losing in the bronze medal match on four separate occasions before this year. So we were kind of the Richmond Tigers of the Olympics, of men's basketball. We're always finishing slightly outside of where you want to finish.
The old Richmond Tigers.
But this year, you know, we put in a great performance. We managed to get over the hump. And I think for me, the biggest takeaway was how good Paddy Mills is. I mean, 42 points in the biggest game that Australia has ever played in an Olympic setting. To have that kind of performance on that stage, I think he puts himself right in there for the discussion for, I mean, the greatest Australian basketball player ever. I mean, he might not have the talent that you would associate with maybe a Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons isn't out here playing for his country. And Paddy Mills is. He put together a pretty remarkable campaign. You could certainly argue he was one of the four or five best players in the entire Olympics across any team, including the US, who obviously took away the gold medal as was somewhat expected, although I was certainly, a couple of podcasts ago, hyping up our chances of taking it down. Unfortunately, that didn't come to pass, but certainly very proud of our boys and their effort over in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Seb, I believe you have something that you want to talk about over in the pool.
Yeah, well, just before we get to the pool, Mitch, I wanted to get your thoughts and May and Kat's as well. Ben Simmons hasn't obviously decided to skip the Olympics and still hasn't made a social media post crediting the boys. Like,
yeah, it's interesting.
How do we feel about that as Australians?
It should also be noted that, just moving away from the Olympics for a little bit, he also hasn't been in contact with his NBA team, the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, it's been reported that, you know, the general manager and the coach and some of his fellow players have reached out to him via text or tried to make phone calls. And he hasn't been picking up his phone to talk to them. So I think he's very much gone off the radar a little bit. There's obviously been, if you follow the NBA, there's been reports that the Sixers are trying to trade him and move on from him. So he certainly probably feels like he's been deserted by his team there. But I think, yeah, it is interesting that. And look, I don't want to kind of diss one of our great Australian basketball players, but I do think maybe we're not getting the best impression of Ben Simmons as a character at the moment. And hopefully he grows up and shows a bit more maturity, I guess you would say. And hopefully he comes around to it. And in 2024, we can see him out there representing the green and gold, as we'd all like him to be.
Yeah.
Well, he did say when asked for comments on not representing the Boomers in the Olympics, he did actually say, quote, "the time will come." Said it's not the time now, but the time will come. So definitely hopes for the future, but with his performance this year, I don't think we can be 100% certain that he will.
No.
Mm. Interesting. Now, look, we'll get away from the basketball court for a second and I'll step into the pool like you were saying before, Mitch, because Emma McKeon is the most unheralded, most fantastic Olympian ever, really. Like, she's been a bit of a veteran of the Olympics, 27 years old. I think this is her third one, if I'm correct. But
yeah.
7 medals, isn't it? For one person, 4 gold. Like, this is, it's unfathomable. And people still don't, like, know her name. Like, she's not an Ariane Titmus, she's not a Patty Mills, but she just gets there and gets there, and she's kind of been that workhorse for 2 or 3 years, but this year just broke open for her. So gold in the 50, gold in the 100 freestyle as well, gold in the 4x100 relay as well as the medley, bronze in the 100 butterfly, bronze in the 4x200 meter relay, which Australia were expected to win and win easy, and they lost, which was disappointing, but still a bronze medal. You don't settle for bronze, you still win bronze, so that's always an achievement, and bronze in the mixed medley relay as well. It's a fantastic haul, and she now becomes the most successful Australian athlete and equal most successful Olympic athlete in history, I believe.
For one Olympic Games.
Yeah, in one Olympic Games. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, just piggybacking off what you said earlier, she wasn't even a Kate Campbell or...
No.
In terms of her popularity, in terms of how well she's known, you know, people like Kate Campbell was the flag bearer alongside Patty Mills this year. Mm. So people didn't know her name the same way that they know a lot of the other swimmers that we have even. And her performance this year was absolutely remarkable, and she deserves so much credit for her performance this year. Absolutely.
Mm. Do you agree with that, Kat? Like, do you hear the name Emma McKeon and you think, oh, yeah, that freestyle, I remember her. She does a bit. Bits and pieces.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I know we were joking about how to pronounce her name before off air, but it speaks wonders to the fact that she's kind of flown under the radar. You obviously know about the Titmus and Ludecky battle. It's crazy to think that she's that decorated of an athlete, and yet she's not a household name yet.
She will be now, for sure.
For sure. So, May, what do you got to tell us about the high jump that happened quite recently?
Yeah, so this is actually a bit of an interesting one. Personally, when watching the Olympics, high jump is never one of the sports that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and watch the high jump. Like, it's normally swimming or track, an event like that. But just happened to, Mum just had the high jump on, so I just stopped and watched the finals with her. And Nicola McDermott, who was one of the 2 women's athletes representing Australia in the finals, actually got the silver. She came 2nd. And I found out that was the first high jump, women's high jump medals since 1964, which is seriously an amazing effort, and just happened to also get a national record of 2.02 meters, which was her winning jump. And yeah, one more thing about the women's high jump that I found really, really interesting was the way that they kind of psyched themselves up before a jump. Like, some of them were doing what the swimmers do and like slapping themselves. Some of them were kind of really death staring the bar. Like, they were trying to, I don't know, like manifest themselves getting over the bar. But Nicola has this thing she does, and she has this really little notebook. And after every single jump, she wrote down all these things in the notebook. And obviously, I don't know what she was writing down, but personally, it felt like she was trying to detach herself from the jump before, like let out her emotions into this notebook and move on from that jump, so she's kind of prepped for the next. And I don't know what she was doing, but clearly it worked because she got the silver. So... yeah, but Seb, what about you moving on to the men's high jump?
Yeah, fascinating stuff. And following that same thing, there was another very unique event in the men's high jump. Like, it's been publicised quite a fair bit. There were 2 golds awarded, first time in forever, 2 golds were awarded in high jump, but to Bashim of Qatar, and Tamberi from Italy. So they both cleared the same jump, and they were both offered, do you guys want to keep going on? Or do you want to just call it? The footage of it's great for those that haven't watched it. They both kind of look in each other's eyes and they see it straight away and you can see what's going to happen. I think the commentator even calls it before it gets announced. So they're going to share the gold. And what makes it a really nice story is their training partners. So they're different countries, but they've trained together. They're good friends, as they said. I think I might have even seen best friends as a quote. But look, I did have one other thing to say on that, Mitch. We all saw the news out of it. This is great sportsmanship, la, 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 la. Like, for me, I don't think it's so much good sportsmanship as it was good theatre, because neither man really gave up anything to get it. Like, as much as I love the sell of it,
yeah,
I don't, like, you know, like, you kind of want to go along with the good narrative, but like, it wasn't good sportsmanship. It was good theatre.
yeah, I think sportsmanship is sacrificing something for someone else, right?
Yeah.
You know, sportsmanship is, or like being gracious in defeat or humble in victory. You know, I think this was just a moment of two guys deciding that they wanted to share in this moment together. And there's nothing wrong with that. I thought that was a great moment for them.
Great moment.
But you are right. I think the phrasing around, you know, the way we talk about it is maybe not quite right. But obviously we don't want that to detract from what these two guys accomplished.
Not at
and
all.
It was certainly a fantastic moment and an all-time great moment for the Olympics in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of other great moments, May, just one with a couple of days to go, the beach volleyball. We fell just a little bit short. Tell us about it.
Yes, this got me so excited. So Maria Fay and Taliqua from Australia came second in the women's volleyball. And it was just such a special moment. Their partnership, they've been training together for so, so long, those two girls. They are clearly best friends. They hang out together. They go on double dates together. I was looking at their Instagram and saw that they're really, really close.
Aww.
Yeah, they came second since Natalie Cook and Kerry Pothast won gold at the Sydney 2000 Olympics. So that was the first women's volleyball medal since then, and they fell just short of the Americans after a terrific comeback in the final. And something else that was really special about that is the fact that Taliqua is an Indigenous Australian, a very proud Indigenous Australian at that, who's been getting around Patty Mills, getting around the other Indigenous Australian athletes, and was just really proud to kind of represent her country. And yeah, it was just great. On social media, the response was amazing, and just to kind of get that hype around the other Indigenous Australian athletes and be so proud was really special. But something else that was getting a really good reaction on social media was Tom Daley during the women's diving. Kat, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Brit Tom Daley, who actually won gold for synchronized diving and bronze for the 10-meter diving, was actually photographed knitting a cardigan. So it was an Olympic-themed cardigan. He had the emblem and whatnot. Which people were so intrigued about. I know I definitely was, as you would be. Why is he knitting, not just privately, but on the sidelines of an event? Obviously, it kind of links into the high jump with kind of riding to remove all emotion. It's definitely a coping mechanism for him. But yeah, so he's actually started a knitting Instagram account at Made Love with Made with Love by Tom Daley to plug it if anyone wants to check it out. But on a more touching note, as fun as it is, he obviously gained quite a bit of attention on the Instagram, and he used it to raise awareness and money for the brain tumor charity, which his dad actually passed away in 2011 from brain cancer. So it's a really special, a bit of fun, but obviously a really special moment in the Olympics. Which I think is really honourable. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that one got all over social media. Like, social media was going crazy for Tom Daley.
Yeah, and I'm certainly looking forward to his follow-up Facebook page, Make Love with Tom Daley. I think that'll...
Make love, guys.
I think that one will be trending on Instagram for sure.
But, yeah, Mitch, 7 May, what do we have to look forward to in Paris? I know it's a bit... it kind of flew, Olympics 2020. But we do only have 3 years to the next one. So what are we to get excited about?
Well, for me, I think it has to be Tim Svilodecki once again. You know, this was a fantastic rivalry that got built up, was very hyped up by Channel 7 and by all the broadcasters. You know, they competed in 4 finals together, or against one another, I should say. And they went Tim Svilodecki 1-2 and Ledecky 1-2. And look, these kind of rivalries don't happen super often in the Olympics. You kind of get, you know, you get your Usain Bolt, who, you know, runs away with all the medals, and you know, you get your Michael Phelps in the pool, right?
Yeah, Emma McKeans.
You have these athletes that just completely dominate their events. But to see, you know, two athletes going back and forth in events that they're competing against one another in is really something special, and it'll be interesting to see because Ariane won the 200 meter and the 400 meter, and then Ledecky won the 800 meter and the 1500. So you could obviously see the disparity was Timis was a better sprinter or faster,
yeah.
But Ledecky had the stamina. So it'd be interesting to see whether that changes at all next time around, whether Timis can find a bit more stamina and maybe outlast Ledecky in the longer forms, or whether Ledecky is going to find the speed to keep up with Ariane in the shorter distance. Was there anything you wanted to add to that? Seb, at all?
No, well, look, I think the only thing to add to that is Rowan Rowan Browning. So his sprint was the most watched Olympic event on Australian TV for this Olympic, not his heat, his semi-final, I think it was. So the one where he didn't qualify, but that was still the most watched event in for all of Australia. So that shows there's a clear interest there. And that's because we haven't had that, like, it's probably one of the biggest events of the Olympics, and we haven't had that proper sprinter. And for once, we actually had a chance of someone who was decent, who could run. And look, he didn't get it this year, but he's still young, and he's 100% going to be at Paris 2024. So I, for one, and I'm sure you guys are all the same, cannot wait to see what he's able to bring in 3 years' time.
I cannot wait to see the mullet back on the track.
I knew you were going to say that, mate.
That beautiful
mullet. I knew May would go for that.
Oh, I had to, right?
But, yeah, with that, Seb, Bruce McAvaney actually, when he was commentating, said, "We've got one, like we've found one, Australians."
Absolutely.
Which I think says it all. I mean, we've been waiting for some success on the track. Mm. So, yeah, it's definitely something to get really excited about.
Yeah.
What about you? What are you excited about?
Other than the mullet.
Other than the mullet. We've got some other things. I was just going to say, having had the Olympics on for the last couple of weeks, just while we're in lockdown and while it's kind of been a really tough time for Australians, having something there and just remembering how special the Olympics is, I think is so great. The energy that the Olympic brings and just the camaraderie of not only Australians, but multiple different countries all coming together is something really, really special that I think only the Olympics can do. So I'm just excited. Can't wait for 3 years, in 3 years' time, to be back and kind of see what Paris will bring to the table.
Well, look, the Olympics are 3 weeks away, but
I wish the Olympics were 3 weeks away.
What did I say? 3 weeks. Well, Mitch, while we've got the Olympics to look forward to 3 years away, we'll of course be back next week with another episode of The Sporting Post, another ripping episode, packed full of information. We'll get a couple of guests on, we'll have a chat, we'll just dissect the sporting world as we always do, and I can't wait to do it.
Absolutely. It's been great. Thanks for coming on, May. Obviously, you don't make an appearance too often, but when you do, it's always a special treat. So thank you very much for coming on this week.
Oh, I'm flattered. Well, it's always a pleasure, guys.
And Kat, obviously, we'll see you back next week as well. As always.
Of course. Can't get rid of me.
Take care, guys.